I want to speak to you. You have to intentionally invest in yourself, build your own behavior, characters, habits, and patterns. Again, if you prepare yourself, then guess what? The knocks will come at the door.
All right, so let's jump straight into this episode, Rabbi. Really like to jump into the content, especially for people watching on YouTube. Let's talk around the subject matter of anointed and appointed, because we've had some blogs on it, some good high traffic, but we've been fielding some questions, and so we wanted to come to you with it to get some spiritual wisdom on it. So let's jump this one off.
Yeah, anointed and appointed. Listen, wow, this could be... this revelation could save you a lot of pain and suffering, I promise you. I learned this lesson through thinking being anointed was appointed, and I went off. Listen, I'm a high energy type A, Enneagram 3, all this stuff that you would test out for, a high drive, entrepreneurship person. My numbers are very much high, and it's how God created me. Now, I say all that to relate to you in this, is that it's great to have drive. It's great to have passion and stuff, but you need to understand what we're going to talk about in this podcast. If you know somebody that is like wired like that, and I'm sure you are wired like that, most people that follow me are pretty driven, and so they understand. So I really want to talk to you about being anointed and appointed, and we're going to break it down, and I'll give you a couple examples in the Bible, and I can give you a couple personal examples, but I think this is going, I think this might be a divine appointment podcast for you.
Very nice play on words there. So let's start with anointed. Let's do a kind of a general spiritual definition of that.
And yeah, then we'll move on. I wrote some notes on this just so I could stay really on track. So anointed is to be gifted by God, okay? By the power of the Holy Spirit, gives you a sense of desire, passion, and purpose for spiritual kingdom work. So I'm going to say it again. Anointed, when you're anointed, is when you're born again, you're anointed. Because when you're born again, it's Christ in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. You are anointed. And when you get saved, you're anointed because it's Christ in you. And that anointing is to be gifted by God through the power of the Holy Spirit that gives you a sense of desire, passion, and purpose for kingdom work. Because what happens is, in the born-again experience, now you want to help, you want to serve, you want to do some things, you want to be more like Jesus, all these things start coming into a real born-again, on-fire baptism in the Holy Spirit person. And that's fine, but it's kind of like David. We'll go back to David. I talked about a lot about him, but I probably have studied more about King David's life than anybody in the Bible. And the reason is, it's so similar to what I'm called to do. So it's that's a good pattern for me to study. So you got to realize, at 13, David was anointed by Samuel as the king of Israel, but he would not become starting to be the king of Israel until he was 30 in Hebron. So now there was that big time. So what's the difference between anointed and appointed? Anointed, you're anointed the day you get saved, just like David at 13. But even though you're anointed and you are called the king of Israel, you are not going out at 13. And so to say, and down the road is Saul, who has already been in the army 26 years at this time. All right. And he's got 26 years of victories. He's a grown man. You're 13. And it's like, and he's the king. So you don't go running from the sheep field, playing the harp out in the trees, killing the lion and the bear, and say, guess what? I've been anointed by Saul. So why don't you go on vacation and, load up your family and move to Palm Beach, with the rest of the Jews. So, see what I'm saying? It's like, that's not what's going to happen. There has to be a process of maturity that comes from obedience and trials and tribulations. But then there was an appointed time. And I wrote some notes on this. Appointed means to be chosen. Listen to this. Chosen for a particular job or purpose, designated and mantled officially for a job or a position. And that's really where, when I see people trying to self-promote, what they do is they usually do not, like, you're given a job description. This is your lane. But you think, if I could do somebody else's job, maybe somebody would recognize me and then I'll get this promotion. You're better off spending all your energy humbly serving and having exceedingly abundant success in one lane than trying to go into other lanes. So people try to broaden it out. I would say that probably one of the biggest keys to success in our business plan, our ministry, and it's in our life, is that, and other people say this, so, but Christy and I are on the same message. We're the same people we were 33 years ago when we started this. We started out bringing Jews out of Russia back to Israel, and now we're still working in Israel. It's not like a fad. You see what I'm saying? It's our call. So the key is when you're appointed is where your call and your anointing are activated for service in the kingdom, and you are established in that set authority. So when we first started out with humanitarian aid, we were taking small groups to Israel with suitcases and children's shoes in suitcases. And then we started shipping boxes over. And I mean, we were as excited, and we fought battles getting boxes into Israel with VAT tax and the boxes being torn up and some of them being stolen and stuff. So we went from that to 40-foot containers. We went from 40-foot containers to a whole ship with $20 million of aid. You see what I'm saying? Each step you have to, but you can't despise the time of small beginnings. Every one of those situations, from the airplanes to the shoes to the ships to the containers to now working directly with the IDF and the soldiers, working with Holocaust survivors and orphan children, all of that, every single one of them, Daryl, we were asked to do the assignment.
Yeah, so kind of what I'm gathering here is, especially bringing David, King David example, is you really have to have a ton of patience. Because the other flip side of the question, so like, let's not say someone's 13 gets saved, right? So now the anointed point in their lives has begun. What if somebody gets anointed and they're 60, right? So you flip the coin completely, and now they're so excited and tons of energy, right, to go out and to get active, right, to get that appointment, to start that. What advice would you give them? Because they're not that young anymore. Not saying that they're old, but, you know, in their head, you know, they're going to be on fire, right? I mean, spiritual fire of just excitement and want to share and probably dive in to find something that they can do for the kingdom. What's your advice to them?
Very easy and very clear. Go to the URL below and download Goals to Grow By. You have to, I want to speak to you, you have to intentionally invest in yourself, build your own behavior, characters, habits, and patterns. Again, if you prepare yourself, then guess what? The knocks will come at the door. Every single thing I just spoke of, someone came to me, like with the ship. The ship got into a jam, and they couldn't get the ship into Israel. At that time, I was a fruit broker. I knew about shipping to a degree. I was spiritual. I'd already worked on the Aliyah with the airplanes, and we had a problem with that ship, okay? And just basically bureaucracy. So they said, would you take it on? So I said, okay, I'll do it. So I was there 7 weeks, and I worked with Finance Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. That's how we became acquainted. So, and we solved the problem. We had the victory. But my point is, I was asked into that.
You didn't force it.
No. But what happened is, I had the skills as a shipper. I had the spiritual warfare skills that I learned with the airplanes. You see what I'm saying? I was already doing humanitarian aid. Israel knew. I was going to Israel at that time 2 and 3 times a year anyway, doing humanitarian aid. So they already had a file on me. I was vetted. They knew who I was. All those small little things I did qualified me in the natural, but also in the spirit realm to have, like, I was familiar with the Middle East. I mean, I was there for 5 weeks at one time, then another 2, a total of 7. I had to stay, you know, at the Hyatt Regency. I had to rent my own car. I had to drive, you know, to Ashdod, to the port. You know, I mean, there was just a lot. The finance minister's office in Jerusalem, you know, it was just a lot of responsibility. I had to take people out for dinner. You know, I had to schmooze and do all the stuff you do to try to get the thing to come together. Find out in that culture who really is, like, in charge of making these decisions so that we could get things moving. And the Lord, hearing the Lord's voice, operating in prophetic gifts, words of knowledge, knowing how to decree, how to go into the courts of heaven, all of that was a learned skill. I didn't learn that while I was in Israel doing this assignment. I focused on my character, especially the impatience, having people make threats against me, like, you're doing this to, like, build your own thing, you're this. No one knew. I wasn't paid to be over there. I was over there on my own nickel. It's very expensive international travel and all that. I mean, so my point is I knew that if I did that, put it this way, that assignment and that victory, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today.
Well, let's go deeper. I mean, like, you wouldn't, I guess if you tried to force it, could you have a variation of that? Probably. But God appointed you, brought the opportunity to you because you had the patience and then you had the willingness to accept.
Yeah. Okay, let's give another example. Apostle Chuck Pierce and I, we've been friends since 1996, and my first official speaking engagement at Gloria Zion was during these feasts.
That's a lot of patience.
That's
yeah, I mean, but like,
I was carrying a message that was at that level for an international apostolic delivery.
God's perfect timing with it.
And I was at total peace, and I had about 4.5 hours sleep and drove down from Oklahoma and just all the, you know, and the Lord anointed me and appointed me to deliver the message. But the thing is, I could have given up and said, you know what, there must be something wrong with me. Apostle Chuck has all these other guys and gals come in and speak all the time. And look at you, you know, here you are, an actual ordained messianic rabbi working at the highest levels of government in Israel, and he won't let you speak. And other people who don't have that are speaking all the time, but you're not speaking. So what happens is, do I get offended with him and then, you know, not be friends? And no, I mean, I was trusting that whatever we do will be the right time. I had invited him to House of David 5 or 6 times. He never came. But right before this event, he came and spoke a word. And his word was this. He said, what I am going to release, he was talking about first fruits and the Sabbath coming into the church. He said, I couldn't release this anyplace else but House of David. And why? Because that's who we are. I mean, of course we're going to receive it. I mean, we have a first fruits Sabbath lifestyle. So he released that to us. But then a few months later, here I am in his, but my point is like, you could ask, well, why would you think, you're not good enough or he's this and that. I don't think that way. It's not how my mind goes. My mind goes is I trust him. You know, just like there's other people, like, you know, I mean, we're very close with the Hammonds and Vision Church and the Panhandle of Florida. And I've never spoken there. I mean, I got up and said a few things, but and the reason is, it's like, and listen, they know who I am. If they need something, I'm going to help them. But the point is, I trust the Hammonds. I trust Chuck. I trust these different ones that when it's time for me to speak, they're in charge, right? They're going to, like, appointed, they're going to call me and say, we need you at this time. And that's where people, it's like, you know, I'm all into branding and I'm into marketing and all the stuff, But what I see is a lot of people trying to sell themselves on the social media to other ministries to get speaking engagements. And I wouldn't do that. You know, it's like,
you're getting too real in this podcast.
Well, I just wouldn't do it. I'm just talking to them because, first of all, I'm busier than, I don't need to be more busy.
That's true.
But my point is that I trust, I'm just using, these are friends of mine, Tom and Jane and Chuck and Bishop. If they need me, listen, they call me enough when they need something off the air and confirmation, like what's really going on, we'll have the conversation. There's mutual respect. But for me to go into their platform, what they're doing as shepherds, I do this at House of David. I want to bring in the right people who are going to deliver to our people so that they can receive it. It doesn't make any difference if I can receive what they're saying. That's not important. It's the people who are under our care. Can they receive it? Have I built enough momentum and a bridge for them to accept the revelation that Chuck's carrying or Tom or Jane or whatever? That's the thing is, but I trust them. And there's others. I trust them that when they ask me to come, you know, Pastor Philip, when doesn't even know me, was watching online and he called and he said, he called me on the phone and, you know, he's in Harrisburg and he said, I really think you're supposed to come. And I said, okay, why? He says, we need what you carry. So he said, as soon as he said that, I'm totally booked out. I had Megan said, we're going there. I heard the words, we need what you're carrying. See, that's a shepherd. His people need, and we went, and sure enough, they did. So that's what I'm trying to speak to. It's not just in ministry. Is like you said, it's not really being patient. It's understanding that the Lord opens the doors. And I really believe this, that the steps of a good and righteous man and woman are ordered of God. So that's why I don't push on stuff. And sometimes we get people ask us to speak and I say no. And one of the reasons is I'm discerning that they don't really see what I'm carrying, and what I'm carrying may hurt the sheep that are in their house at that level. So in order to protect them, I'll say, let's pray about it and do it a little later.
Wow.
I mean, does that make sense? I mean, it's really all about these sheep. I hate calling them sheep, the people. They're not our sheep. They're the Lord's sheep. And you have to treat them, and what you have in you comes from the Lord, so it's not yours. And you have to ask the Lord inside of you, do you want what I'm carrying? My biggest question is, am I able to articulate it and not hurt them? It's the Jabez prayer, you know, Lord, bless me indeed. And then you ask the Lord to go with you. But one of the things he says at the end of the prayer is he says that I may not cause pain. Just because you have an anointing and you're appointed and you have truth, if you go in your own strength, you can really hurt a lot of people.
Wow. Hey, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook and this podcast, this message is speaking to you, because Rabbi, you're dropping a lot of truth bombs, drop a fire emoji in the chat just to let us know that you're in agreement and that it's speaking to you. You know, I think one thing I really kind of, I got stuck with in my head, and what I have to do is get past it sometimes and continue listening through like what you're bringing, because you say something and then it just, you know, it's kind of like the light bulb thing. But I really gained, and I'm going to form into a question, peace, that when you're confident in your anointing and you're okay with being patient, regardless of what the day to day kind of happens, because you have faith and peace in his perfect timing and plan for you, that like, that's the key. Is it really peaceful to you at this stage of ministry and just humanitarian aid work, and to not jump the gun because you've been doing it for so long? It's just like, you just know and you have that discernment.
I'm old enough to know that I probably won't miss it If I do, he'll extend grace and get somebody else maybe to help with it. I'm not the answer to all things. But I always ask myself, Hebrews 4:12, that the word of God is sharper than two-edged sword, discerning the intents of the heart. Anytime I'm doing something, I always ask myself, why am I doing this? And if it's because of fame, or I need the money, or I feel like I'm networking, or I'm this, or I'm that, then if any of those answers come up, then I'm not going, because my heart's not right. And I can only go if I have a total peace inside of me and I say, the Lord's sending me. Because a lot of things have happened. A lot of political stuff has happened. And people have invited me to political stuff. And it's like, it's not where I'm at right now. Am I all for voting and the election? Absolutely. But I'm not in a upfront position with it like I was in elections past. And the reason is because the Lord has me doing stuff behind the scenes. And what I'm doing behind the scenes is more powerful than if I was out. And if, be honest with you, if I was out, then I couldn't do what I'm doing behind the scenes. So you can't have it both ways. So you're either going to do, like, I think everyone understands, like in Israel, that there's different organizations that are really getting a lot of stuff done that no one will talk about. And we know that's how it works. It's not TV, it's for real. And sometimes the Lord will take you into a covert type assignment. And that's kind of the season I'm in. I'm very careful where I go, because if I go, I'm bringing attention to what I stand for. And a lot of times the Lord doesn't want that attention on that. So, you know, there's just different seasons. I took you and our camera team to Israel here a while back on that trip. We were totally safe. Before the war, everything was good, no problems. I wouldn't take you guys now. It's too dangerous now. So it's just those types of things. You just have to, like, well, did we change or digress? No, the atmosphere changed. The theater of war changed, okay? Would I go over there with Christy and I? Yeah, we would go, but it's different traveling with two people with, you know, IDF armed people in armed vehicles moving into, you know what I'm saying? It's totally different than going in with a camera. And because you know what it's like, as soon as the cameras come out, everyone wonders. Yeah. So she and I can just walk in and, you know, dressed in our, just as common as we can. We don't draw attention to ourselves. We're in jeans and sweatshirts and we can go in and out. So my point is like, did we digress in our media by not going? No. It's just that my assignment is, you know what, to you and your family and the rest of the crew, you got to be safe. And the other thing is, I'm glad, as a spiritual father and a grandfather, I'm really glad that when we went over after October the 7th, I'm glad that Paul and Megan and you guys and the camera crew didn't see what we saw, because you can't unsee it. You can't unsmell it. When we were there, you can't listen to what I was being told by the people who survived it. None of it changed me forever. And I really don't think you needed that experience. I wouldn't want you to have it. Your job right now is to do what you do and raise your family and bless your children and be a loving father and have peace. And to see what we saw over there in the season we're in, it makes it a lot more difficult to sleep after you see that level of evil. So what you have to do is you just have to trust that when the Lord appoints you, we're talking about anointing and appointing, when he appoints you to go, it's God's time is perfect. And I always pray that. I don't ever, usually if my heart's like, oh, I want to do that because I want fun, fame, fortune, money, none of those things are bad. But when I think of that in my heart, if my heart's there for God's work, I can't be there. I have to be, I'm going there because God is sending me there to serve his people and to be a witness.
And that's really good. Drop another fire emoji. I mean, like, this episode is maybe one of our best. I think especially on a topic that needs a lot of clarification, because it can just be thrown around and there's a ton of confusion on it. For some reason, I'm definitely learning a ton. So I'm just kind of sitting back and having some spiritual food per se in this episode. Let's go ahead and jump out of it. What's a lasting word that you've got for people watching or listening?
Oh, that's a scripture. It's one of Christy and I's scriptures, is blessed is he who waits upon the Lord. Doesn't mean you do anything. Waiting means like a waiter. You're bringing your life to him and he's fine tuning it. Blessed is he who waits, not sits and does nothing. Blessed is he who builds character. Blessed is he who changes value system. Blessed is he who trades evil for good. Blessed is he who transforms into the likeness of Christ. They shall renew their strength, and they shall rise up as on wings like eagles. So I want to share this with you. An eagle is uniquely appointed to soar. Okay? I want to say that again. An eagle is anointed to fly, but appointed to soar. So inside the which we would have like our shoulder blades of an eagle, is the bones actually lift up and lock into place when they soar. So when they have their wings stretched out like this, they'll literally go like that, and the wings have like a ball and socket, and they actually lock into place. Christy and I used to live in Washington, state of Washington. And when we lived in Eastern Washington, we lived way up high up on a mountain in Wenatchee. And behind us was like, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of acres of forest land. And we used to be able to take our Jeep, and we'd take dirt bikes and trail bikes and ride up in there. And there was golden eagles and bald eagles, and you could go up there. And even at our house, you could lay in the pool, and the eagles would soar above, and you could watch them. But one of the reasons they can soar is because their bones, they're like a hawk, a red-tailed hawk, has to, by its tendons and its strength, it has to flap when it soars. If you watch them, they'll flap, and you'll see them tilting like this, like one, like an airplane, like up and down, and an eagle is flat out. And the reason it's flat out is because its skeletal structure locks its wings into place, and it soars based off how it is appointed and created by God. It is created to soar, to go to the high places. It loves a windy, stormy day, because all it has to do is get out of its rock perch and put out its wings and go wherever he wants. That, when the scripture says, blessed is he who waits upon the Lord, he shall renew his strength, and he shall rise up as like wings of eagles. Meaning the Lord says, I have created you in the spirit to be able to lock out your wings in the spirit. And if you'll just wait, praise me, and believe me, I will send the wind of the Holy Spirit underneath me, and I will take you up to my high places, and it will be effortless. You won't have to flap and strive to get there. My wins, my battles, my circumstances will lift you up to my high places. That's what that's. So if you ask for a scripture, that's a revelatory scripture in our family and the years we lived in Washington, way up on the hill. We studied the eagles a lot.
Man, what an episode. This is going to be, I think, one of those ones that's going to get a lot of views over time as kind of like an archive episode. So if you're watching on YouTube, do us a favor, especially to get more spiritual content like this episode. It's free. Just go ahead and hit that subscribe button on your screen right now, on your phone. If you're watching on your TV, tablet, anything else, you'll see an option to hit subscribe as well. But don't forget to hit the bell notification. So every time we post something, I mean, our promise to you is that we're going to be putting out spiritual content daily and weekly for you. So make sure to subscribe. If you're watching on Facebook, hit the follow button. And if you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple, just hit the follow button. We appreciate you as well there. All links, all blogs, all videos, we will put a link in the description and the show notes of this episode. All right, it's going to do it for us for this week of the Kurt Landry Podcast. We'll see you next week.